You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
We shall get to the baseball in a few. And that's because I want to talk a little NFL football. As I said, Corey Parson will be hosting a whole lot of scouting combine coverage starting Friday morning going through Monday. Each and every morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, you got it Friday morning at 11 a.m. You'll be doing essentially filling in for On Target on Friday and Monday. Yep. And then Saturday and Sunday morning, you'll be here from 10 to 12.
Yep, no doubt about it. So Friday, we kick it off right here, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Me and my guy, Emory Hunt, for Football Game Plan. Also may have Mike Blewett joining us that day. Also looking to hear back from him any moment now. Mike Blewett was in with me yesterday. We did the Fantasy Football Frenzy. So
what you'll hear today.
You can catch that at 3 p.m. Eastern Time today. Saturday at 10. Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself, our guy Joe Lisi from GoForThe2.com and Rich C.
Sermonella.
I don't want to jack that
butcher
up.
Butcher it.
Yeah, so I'll be working on that for the next couple days, making sure I know how to pronounce Rich's last name properly. And then on Monday, we come back, myself, Emory once again, and of course, our guy from Fantasy Football Champs, Bill Enright. Bill was over at the mothership with us for a little bit.
Oh, so there you go.
Solid guy, too. I think he works for the Patriots Radio Network or something like that.
So, big crew this weekend.
Getting ready. Introduce you to the Fantasy Football stars of tomorrow.
Speaking of football, you know, the franchise tags, some contract extensions that we're going to get to in just a second. But perhaps the biggest industry news is something you brought to my attention yesterday, Corey.
Yeah.
And that is NFL 10 is my fantasy league, $10, you know, just draft and forget about it. They're now open, which is awesome. You can start drafting right now. Put your $10 in, because if you're crazy, it was February yesterday. It's March 1st now. Mm-hmm. You can start and play your NFL 10s now. That's exciting, right, Corey?
That's good stuff. NFL 10s, obviously.
Very popular.
Been a finalist for FSTA Contest of the Year. I think they are the reigning FSTA Contest of the Year. Very popular contest. People use them as mock drafts, NFL 10s. And they're played all over the country. And they get they're very much a big thing in the fantasy football industry. They kicked off February 27th. That was Monday, and I went to log on to, you know, cash in my credits to start my NFL 10 journey for this season. And I was not allowed to because I'm a resident of New York, and so there's people in all other parts of the country also not allowed to participate in NFL 10s because of regulations in their states.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
I know that hurts for you.
Well, it hurts because, you know, this is something that people that rely on as a research tool. Obviously, you know, this is way overkill. The rules that they're putting in place going to make it difficult, you know, for us to compete in that type of league in these different states. And, you know, we've always heard all along while all of this stuff was going on that this will not affect season-long fantasy sports, and that is not the case.
Tony, big deal, obviously, here in New York, not being able to do the NFL 10s. How early do you get involved in that?
Oh, I would get involved any time. I mean, we probably do like 20-something of them every year. And they're always great to see where the guy's going in the draft and give you something to talk about. And then, I don't know. I first started probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I've never paid since. You just take what you win, and then you never take the money out. You just keep the money in there and just build up more drafts. And it's a lot of fun. And a state like New York's got to definitely hurt them from a financial perspective. I mean, I remember when the whole DFS situation there, that was like 25% of their business.
You know, Jeff Stein from My Fantasy League will be on the Fantasy Football Frenzy today, so you can get the latest updates on what's going on with My Fantasy League and them trying to bring the contest to everybody. So it's going to be a lot of people not playing them in this year, you know what I mean? So we have to find, you know, alternative means of, you know, that of that contest, of figuring out to have competitive mock drafts, because that's what they were looked at as. They were $10, you know, and the league did play out in the best ball fashion, but the majority of industry users. I mean, you would hop into MFL 10, and then you would have, like, Tony in it, Evan Silva would be in it, you know what I'm saying? Adam Rank would be in it, and you're like, wow, this is the whole industry, you know what I'm saying? Playing in these things, and then you have some of the top players from around the country, and that's gone, and that's not right, in my opinion.
I know, I agree with you. It sucks.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how these things worked out, but some of the regulations are looking like it's going to be tough.
Yeah. This is kind of an issue of certainly. That's why aren't you running for something here, Corey, to try to fix these things?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. So we'll figure that part out.
Okay. Moving on. Moving on here. So we put the poll up about your significant others.
Was it 100 to 0?
It is not 100 to 0. It is currently 89% to 11%.
I want to know who the two dudes are that said they're going to bring them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah. So that's the deal. That's the deal. 89% of player people say you cannot bring your significant other to the draft. Not okay. Not okay.
Florio looked like a bring his girlfriend to the draft. I thought.
Florio, would you ever do that? Would you ever bring your girlfriend to the draft?
I never have. And not only because, you know, I want to focus on the draft and I'm with friends or such, but also because I know she has zero interest in being there and she's just going to be bored. Why would I want to take away from my experience or make her sit through that?
You see, and that's the thing. I think the majority of females that are at drafts, if they're not, like, a part of the contest or, like, you know, doing whatever, you know, some kind of work or something like that, they don't want to be there. Why are you forcing them to be there? I don't get it.
I don't know.
That's why I want to hear from one of these goons.
I don't know. Let me get some more NFL news.
Really?
What?
No, never mind.
Well, please, no. Go right ahead. You just screamed really.
No, I just got a message or somebody is listening and they told me that they know a guy that would do it.
You don't want to out that person?
Really? No, I'm not going to out that person.
Tony would.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, I know it's not Scott Engel.
No, No, it's not Scott Engel.
So who could it be?
Come on.
I'm not going to do that. I don't want to start.
Oh, Adam Ronis would bring his sister, Lisa Ann.
You know, I never. You know what? I never told nobody that, but I got a real good tongue lashing behind that.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A real good tongue lashing. I'm talking about like
a good kind of tongue lashing.
I'm talking about a long, long email
about
how
sister?
I was. Yeah.
Why?
About how I was a POS for doing that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What was the reasoning?
They thought that I was being unfair to Ronis and that I was being sexist towards them for even suggesting that she, you know, well, suggesting that a male-female couldn't have a relationship like the two of them had. Huh. Yeah, it was...
What do you mean, what's better than a brother or sister relationship?
I don't know, but she was very upset, you know what I mean? So I ended up apologizing several times. And,
she gets upset every once in a while.
And she was like, that's why. She almost, for the most part, she said, I'm glad that's why what happened to you. Yep. For real. I was shocked when I got this message, Tony. I was blown away.
That's going too far.
No, I'm serious. I was blown away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are you friends now?
I saw her after that, you know what I'm saying? And she acted like it never happened.
Huh. Maybe she was on medication.
Maybe so. But yeah, she was upset about that. I mean, I was like, my goodness, lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a joke for the radio. You know what I'm saying? And I guess, you know, she didn't like it at all. And I'm talking about, like, a long email. You know what I'm saying? I replied like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't take it that serious. She replied back with another long email. I was like, wow.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it is what it is, fellas. You know what I'm saying? Listen. This is the radio, you know, this is entertainment, you know what I mean? I care about everybody's feelings, but if I got a chance to entertain, I'm going to do it.
Yes, of course, that's the most important thing here.
You know, I got to sell tickets too, you know what I'm saying? I tell you what my children like to win on their feet.
Speaking of people that won't have to worry about that for a long time, Antonio Brown signs...
His children will be fine.
A very lucrative extension mm-hmm. with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So all that posturing, all BS, right,
yep.
Corey? It was all BS to try to bring that number down. And he gets quite a bit of money, does Antonio Brown. Basically, 2 years guaranteed, then they decide it'll be another 2 years guaranteed, and that'll be the long contract. This is a four-year extension on top of his final year here this year.
Do you guys see any reason why there would be regression in his game outside of age?
Quarterback's
a good one. Mm-hmm. Quarterback's a good one. I would just say, you're not going to like this, Corey, but for lack of a better word, passion. He got paid. A dude like that really struggled. I mean, after he wound up getting paid, he posted on Twitter like the post of like the review of his draft, like what draft Knicks were saying about him.
Yeah,
and he posted that, and he's like, "Here, I proved you wrong." Like he did it.
I have no problem with that.
He's done it all now. Right, he's best wide receiver in the NFL. He got paid. Now maybe he doesn't want to get hit anymore.
He doesn't really get hit anyway, though. Except for when a homeboy, Adam Jones, took that head-to-head on him. I feel like he's getting better. You saw the play against, what was the playoff game? The play against the Dolphins on the sideline? That's like Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, and you know what I'm saying? Antonio Brown is the head of the class. I don't see really... Like, but outside of Ben Roethlisberger goes down in a situation with the quarterback, I don't see no reason why you should think that Antonio Brown is going to have any regression. And I have no problem taking him off the board at anywhere between one. I think we got a consensus this year. I think we got a consensus 3 that Antonio Brown is not in this year.
Really?
Yeah. I think the three big
three
backs,
running backs,
three
are
running
in.
Backs at the top, and then Brown.
You're
at
Mr.
four.
Antonio Brown, and you won't consider it 1-1 anymore.
I would take a clean offseason from Le'Veon Bell. To me, makes Le'Veon Bell 1-1.
And what about David Johnson? David Johnson ahead of Antonio Brown as well.
That's where I'm.
So you're saying anywhere from 1-2 to 1-4.
Anywhere from 1-2 to 1-4.
He's not the only one to sign the extension. Eric Berry becomes the richest safety of all time, Tony. $40 million guaranteed, including a $20 million signing bonus, which frees up the Chiefs, if they need to franchise tag Dontari Poe.
Yeah, Poe's a big lineman. I'll tell you what, the wide receiver, I kind of wonder about paying a wide receiver all that money by position. I don't know I would ever franchise a running back. The safety is a situation I would absolutely, Scotty Engel will tell you, he's a general of the defense, his safety out in Seattle. I think this is where you play your money in, and you spend the money. When you have a top-notch safety, that changes the whole defense.
Oh, I agree. And Eric Berry here obviously got paid this offseason.
Now, if they didn't pay him, mm-hmm. would you have been like, wow, that's real grimy? Like, if they had to put him on the franchise tag...
I get you. They did it last year. They franchised him last year.
Yeah, but now he's back.
Now he's fully healthy, back, obviously.
Fully right. healthy. You see what's going on. If they didn't pay him, would you have thought business as usual in the NFL? Or would you have been like, you know what? That's a very grimy move.
I think it's a tough answer to that question, to be honest with you.
I don't feel bad any time for anyone getting franchised.
Right.
Because they get,
right.
you know, top five salaries. You know what? You're not getting a lifetime guarantee. Well, you got $20 million. I mean, if that ain't a lifetime guarantee, I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, that's why I don't feel bad at all for Kirk Cousins, even remotely. Because franchise tag 2 years in a row, he's making $44 million in 2 years.
But
why don't you feel bad for Kirk Cousins?
No, you shouldn't feel bad for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is coming out like a fat rat in all of this.
Right.
He goes up, he has another 4,900 passing yard season. They're not going to franchise him again and make him the highest paid player in NFL history.
Right.
They're going to sign him to a long-term deal. In 3 years, he might make a guaranteed money in 3 years of close to $70 million mm-hmm. and never won a playoff game. Mm-hmm. But that's what quarterback is in the NFL right now. And as far as the Eric Berry thing, like, I mean, the dude battled back from cancer. You feel what I'm saying?
I get it.
Like, you know, healthcare and stuff like that. He shouldn't be tagged. He should be on a long-term deal because of what he did, you know what I'm saying, to get back. But some people don't look at it like that. Maybe that's me, you know what I'm saying, being like a nice guy.
You're a nice guy.
Thank you.
To me, I agree with Tony here. I think like you're getting paid. It's not like they're cutting him, right? And say we're not like, all right. So they franchise tag and give him $15 million.
They franchise and give him $15 million. Then you
it's
know
$15 million, Corey.
And then he knock on wood, he tears his ACL, and like, oh, we don't need you no more.
But we just gave you $15 million
for that season.
How much money does a man need?
Why can't the organization make a commitment to him?
So they did it.
And I think that was the right thing to do. I think people would have looked at them in a bad light if they didn't make a commitment to him.
I don't know that they would.
Really? You think it's business to that point? Mm-hmm. A guy, what'd he have?
Cancer.
Yeah, was it lymphoma or mm-hmm. something like that? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he battles back, and then you don't take care of him as one of your own? I don't think that's right. Or am I being naive?
They paid him for the year that he had cancer, right?
Uh-huh.
And they brought him back, and now they've kept him made him one of the five highest paid players at his position. I mean, what should they do? Give him a 5-year contract?
I think what they did is right. I think they did the right thing.
Making the highest paid safety of all time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sure.
Maybe they didn't have to go that far, but you know, you put him on a franchise, it's kind of like, okay, well, we need you for this season.
Mm-hmm.
Here goes your $15 million. We need you for this year. Oh, next year we'll talk about it. This guy could be strapped with medical bills.
Sure. All I know is around $15 million.
Which didn't probably take care of the medical bills.
I would think they had insurance.
Probably.
Yeah.
Obamacare. That seems logical.
They have some kind of health care, right? The players?
Sure. I would think.
Oh, yeah.
The union probably offers it, right?
Yeah. But how long do they have it after they get out the league?
I think it's always like a point of contention, I think.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he could be strapped with those medical bills.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But he made a lot of money, so mm-hmm. too. You know what I'm saying? But
you're not feeling bad, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling bad for him at all.
I would have felt bad for him if they franchised him. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. You feel bad for Kirk Cousins?
No, I don't feel bad for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is cash, and then he's a quarterback that hasn't done anything.
Speaking of quarterbacks that haven't done anything, Tony Romo is expected to be cut this week.
Yeah, Tony Romo will likely get cut on March 9th.
And perhaps replaced with Josh McCown. That's the rumor.
That's tough. They had the kid that was in camp last year. I can't think of his name right now.
Kellen Moore there?
No, not Kellen Moore.
Okay. Another guy?
It was a dude that was him and Dak that was supposed to be the backup.
Right. Some other guy.
Yeah, I can't think of what his name is right now. Jaleel, something like that.
Not Jaleel Peppers.
No. So, that's the situation.
Jaleel.
Oh, I can't think.
Jaleel Okafor.
No. As far as
Jaleel Showers?
Is that him?
I think it might be him.
That might be
him. I don't think I made that up. I think
that might be him.
Yeah. I think that's him, too. I'm looking.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Continue.
He was cut. As far as the big news in the NFL yesterday, I think we saw two studs, you know what I'm saying, from years past, Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson.
Jameel Showers.
Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson, those guys are not going to be back. I don't think Minnesota's going to reconstruct Peterson's deal, and Jamal Charles was released. And I think, you know, these are fantasy studs for years now. You know what I'm saying? Running backs you draft at the top of the board. I think Peterson may still have a little gas in the tank. I think Charles is done. Either way, both players, if they play in 2017, will be part of a running back by committee.
Where did Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson end up? Corey and Tony give their predictions next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Were cut yesterday, from Adrian Peterson to Jamal Charles to Darrell Revis. All three of those guys, Darius Byrd as well, cut yesterday by their longtime teams. I guess Revis is kind of a mercenary, so he's been back and forth a whole bunch. But all these guys have been cut with the expectation that they will be replaced in free agency coming up next Thursday. So let's start with Jamal Charles, who was released by the Chiefs with a quote, failed physical designation. Now, Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that Charles, he's healthy obviously the Chiefs disagree. Nevertheless, Charles is expected to be ready for training camp. Would you rather, Tony, have Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson?
Adrian Peterson, I think that has a little more left in the tank. Jamal Charles has been a couple of years of injuries, as has Adrian Peterson, a smaller back. I just think that the end is there. Once you lose the quickness, you get beat up a little, I think he's done.
Adrian Peterson also coming back from his own injury issues, though. He didn't play most of last year. Obviously, had the ACL a couple of years ago where he came back and ran for 2,000 yards. Adrian Peterson also a little bit older, but I guess you can make the case, Corey, that Jamal Charles, he was always a bit of a committee back. So signing to be a committee wouldn't be much of a change.
Yeah, but what he was able to do, he was a committee. But not really. Throughout his mainstay, he was the lead dog.
He was the lead dog, but he was never somebody who was at 25 carries a game.
No, he didn't need 25 carries a
game. Sure.
And that was the thing about him, the way he catched the football, the way he was used, especially Andy Reid. You know how he's going to use that running back. The regime before him, they catered their offense around Jamal Charles and his skill set. So the pass catching, the running ability, the home run ability, the way that offense was set up was perfect for Jamal Charles. Now, they went with Wynn, so Kendrick West last year. So I bet you know that Jamal Charles is pretty beat up. I think Charles, I think he gets a shot. I don't think he has no fantasy value.
I'll tell you where Jamal Charles ends up. Jamal Charles will be going to Philadelphia.
They got a back. They I think Philadelphia can do better than that. Who would you rather have if you're Philadelphia, Jamal Charles or Latavius Murray?
How much better is Latavius Murray than Ryan Matthews?
You take the younger, healthier back.
How much younger is Latavius Murray than Ryan Matthews?
No, well, he's young. I'm not sure how much younger. He's better than Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is always going to be beat up.
Yeah.
That's his game. That's his MO right there. You know, he has stretches where he looks good. Maybe Latavius Murray needs a new system, a change of scenery. I would take Murray over Matthews, and I would take Murray over Charles.
I link Charles to Philadelphia, given that Doug Peterson, former offensive coordinator with Kansas City, you got those coaching connections.
They need a back. But if you're them and Murray is on the market, why would you not go for Murray or draft one?
So you believe Latavius Murray is the number one running back in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it's not
more than Eddie Lacy?
Oh, Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy end up back in Green Bay. It's no market for Eddie Lacy. A fat running back to stay hurt.
Yeah.
No market for him.
How come you think Philadelphia needs a running back?
You think they can continue to do it with Matthews and Sproles? And I think one of the things they look at.
What about the two young
running backs? Wendell Smallwood.
And Kenyon Barner.
Kenyon Barner
is like a bum. Yeah. And then Smallwood is intriguing. You know, I will say that. Smallwood is intriguing. So he ran last year. But I think Smallwood might be better off as a part of a committee with a guy like Murray. I don't know what the deal with Darren Sproles is. I think he got an extension last year, so he'll still be in the mix. I don't know. I think Philadelphia's in the running back market, Tony.
I would think that they had other things to address, but I don't know.
Wide receiver certainly a position they need to address.
That should be the
very, very badly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey should be the number one guy on their radar.
We kind of said it all along. Alshon Jeffrey, Chicago is done with this guy. They're not interested in him, and it looks like he will not be franchised today, which means Alshon Jeffrey will be a free agent come next Thursday. And you've heard him linked to Philadelphia. And perhaps, most interestingly, Tennessee. You've heard that Tennessee is going to spend a lot of cash to pair him up, Tony, with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee, not a team that throws the ball a ton. And I want to see if they got the two running backs there, if they evolve that passing game. Mariota was the guy that put up big numbers when he had to. But you saw him throw three touchdown passes on very limited number of throws in the NFL. I wonder if they add receivers, if that is all of a sudden going to change how they go things. I don't see it. I think they try to win on defense in the running game.
If they do add, they need talent in the passing game. Rashard Matthews is like a good two or three. If they do, I think the guy for them to add is DeSean Jackson. Because DeSean Jackson, what he can do, still, he has his issues that comes with him, but nobody pops the top on the defense like DeSean Jackson. You got DeSean Jackson streaking down the field. That's going to open up all kinds of room for that running game, and that's what they want to do. So Jackson would be a nice addition in Tennessee, but I think I don't know. I think Jackson, Garcon, and Jeffrey are the big fishes out there at wide receiver. Right. And I think Tampa, Tennessee, and Philadelphia are the landing spots.
Well, you know what? Kenny Stills, people are talking about as a big time wide receiver. 24 years old. They're saying this kid could make $12 million a year. Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
Well, and you also didn't mention.
Did I would take him in Dallas.
You didn't mention Terrell Pryor in that.
Terrell Pryor be back in Cleveland.
And he's locked to go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, he'll be back in Cleveland.
Just because he's from Ohio, the whole deal?
I think Cleveland wants him. And I think he wants to be in Cleveland. Okay. Didn't he say he wants to win in Cleveland? He's there. He wants to go through the process with them.
Trust the process.
We're talking about the Browns, not the Cavs, TP.
The Tony Romo, as we said, expected to be cut. Perhaps replace with Josh McCown as a backup to Dak Prescott. Romo, according to you, I think it was Rappaport as well, they said it's the Denver Broncos, Tony, and everybody else in the race for Tony Romo. Makes sense?
Absolutely. I think if you look at it, Tony Romo, that's the one team that you could join and have a chance to get back to the Super Bowl right away and secure that first playoff win as a quarterback. I think it's a no-brainer, and I would be surprised. I would be worried if it took more than 24 hours to do after you get cut.
Yeah, he had a playoff EW tone. They beat Philadelphia 1 year, so he has one playoff win.
Was it a strike year?
Nah, it was a regular year. They beat Philadelphia and they went to the next round and they lost to Brett Favre of Green Bay Packers. I mean Brett Favre of Minnesota Vikings.
They could. Denver, I would think, is the second choice behind New England, probably in the AFC. They had a quarterback.
Yeah, probably.
Wait, hold on. What if he goes to Houston? Then Houston is the second team in the AFC.
I agree with that, too.
But I think Romo wants to play in the NFC.
Why?
Because he wants to play against Dallas.
Get back in Dallas?
What? I think he would. You don't think? They're doing him a favor by cutting him.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's true, too. They are doing him a favor by cutting him. You know what I mean? Because then he has 31 people that he has 31, you know, future employers. Whereas trading him, they could trade him to Buffalo.
They didn't have to do anything to trade him. They could just kept him.
Yeah. Send him on the bench. Like, get your money. Just the bench. Stay right there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think Denver's a good idea.
Cold?
Oh, really? The cold. The cold with a bad back would worry me.
Right.
The bad back with a cold. The cold weather with a bad back. And then, you know, you need a running back to have Tony Romo. You can't have Tony Romo controlling your offense at this age with that back. He has to be efficient, and I think Houston gives him that best chance.
I agree. They just gave Brock $75 million. He sucks. But they just gave him six. How much guaranteed is it this year?
You look at the window.
I agree.
You look at the window. You get J.J. Watt back. Clowney's developing into a good player.
You get Tony Romo in there, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
You get Romo in there, you have a legit chance to win the Super Bowl. And he doesn't have to leave. You know, he can still keep his house in Dallas. His family don't have to move. You know what I mean? He can get a one bedroom in Houston. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't seem safe.
I don't think they'll bring him in.
Why?
I think they're stuck with the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
They already gave that big money to Brock, right?
Yeah.
That would be a tremendous cap hit.
Oh, yeah. It'd be huge. You can't do it. It's bad.
If I'm Washington, I'm looking at Houston like, you see what happened? When you get a quarterback this kind of money, an unproven quarterback this kind of money?
This is what happens. We asked you before, should you bring your significant others to fantasy drafts? We're now up to 91% saying no.
Wow. Do people hate their significant others?
Mike Florio, we had some responses here to the poll.
Yeah, one person, I'm pulling up the name right now. His name was Mike Jervis, I believe it's pronounced. He said the 9% who say yes are never winning a league ever. Another person, Baltimore J, tweets us, where's the option for hell no, are you nuts?
People are really against this, you know what I'm saying? The Twitterverse is really against this right here. Doesn't make no sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
If you're the guy that brings the significant other, please give us a telephone call.
We want to hear from you.
Tell
please.
Us why this is a good idea. Please give us a telephone call because it's really nothing positive can come out of this if you're bringing your old lady to the draft or, you know, whatever. I I mean, it could be a female league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Hey, well, if you're in a female, all female league, do you bring your husband?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
844.
No, but.
Yes.
What if he needed help? What if you needed help?
Why would a female need help? Why do they don't want
to?
Some males need help, too.
Have you been at, Corey, how many times have you been asked, can you help me with my fantasy team? I don't know anything, but I want to play.
I tell them sign up. And then we split the money.
Then you buy Roto Experts exclusive edge package.
It's available now, by the way, at rotoexperts.com.
The baseball version, yeah.
Baseball version. Use free radio when you check out. You get some money off.
Yeah, and I have a lot of young ladies that I help that they'll join work leagues. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and that's fine. But it's like my friends and my friends, all our girlfriends are in a league together. And they have a rule that when it comes to the draft, no boyfriends. Preps, whatever, in the draft, at the draft, no boyfriends.
And this is your ladies?
Yes.
She has a league?
Yes.
You help her though, right?
Well, I give her advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not in the draft.
Not doing the draft.
No texting, nothing.
So they have to do the draft themselves.
Yes.
I remember I saw a female league draft results one time.
Yes.
And the first players chosen in the draft was Reggie Bush.
He's a good-looking man.
There you go. It's crazy. That's crazy. They selected Reggie Bush was selected one because he's good-looking. Can you imagine that?
Or he's married
Greg,
to
I have
Kim.
A question for you.
Yes, sir.
So you just said your girlfriend is in a league where you're not there, she's not allowed to attend the draft, but you give her advice. So say if she asked you...
Not during the draft, but
no,
before the draft. Yeah.
So say you had a draft before hers, and she said, I just want to come and sit and watch... Your strategy,
maybe you could talk me through it. No.
You would say no?
Absolutely not. She could review the draft afterward. Or I'll sit with her and explain it to her, but she can't come. Absolutely not. Floria, you're crazy.
I just thought it was worth questioning.
No, it's a... Please. What kind of man do you think?
We had a lady come to the Greenwich State Tavern draft, and she did a great job. Thank God she came.
Yeah, she did a good job of putting stickers on, you know, on the board and stuff like that.
She somebody,
cool.
Was she somebody's significant other?
I believe she was one of the gentlemen in the league.
Why'd she come?
Yeah, but I think this was different. She was doing the board, and then I think maybe they were traveling to New York.
Okay.
You know what I'm
saying?
A
little vacation for
them. So, yeah, exactly. That's what I think the situation was. That's different. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit different.
I don't want to see Cha-Cha rolling up in here on draft day with his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Oh, I like his wife.
She's a nice woman. You don't get me wrong. You know what
so
I'm saying?
So, you can go out to dinner with him.
Yeah, we can go out to dinner after the draft. I'll Cha-Cha. We go back up. We'll three of us go out. You know, maybe I'll be lucky and I'll have a date, too.
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't had a date.
Wait, you like real dates?
I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? I went on one a little while ago. You know, I'm cool with them. Yeah, you don't always have to go right for the finisher. But I'm cool with dinner and I'm not gonna go to the movies. I like to talk too much to go to the movies. But I'm cool with dinner and, you know, a couple drinks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go back home. I can go back home.
Fair enough.
If I have a date this weekend, she's going back home because I got to get up the next morning.
You got to work.
Yeah, I got to work.
You got to work.
So there you go right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to wait.
It's okay.
It's fine. I can wait. Okay. I'm not Scott.
You're not greedy.
Yeah, I'm not Scott. I don't need, you know, I don't need it ASAP.
Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk some baseball here.
Yeah, let's go.
Team of Day, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Stick around.
Oh, no.
Roto Experts is continuing on right after this. Back here, Roto Experts in the morning. Team of Day, the Los Angeles Dodgers here. Tony Zingada, I go to you first, my friend, and I ask you, who do you got as we go into the pitching? Because there's so many pitchers here with the Dodgers. We know about Clayton Kershaw, but what about the next two? Kenta Maeda versus Rich Hill. Who you got?
Jeez, you know, this is a tough one because Rich Hill, an older pitcher that can't stay healthy, got a ton of money, and on the day that he signed the contract, General Manager Friedman says, hey, you know what, well, we know we'll get a good 125 innings out of him, so there's even no expectations of this guy staying healthy. But they're elite numbers when he pitches. I would actually go with Rich Hill over Kenta Maeda.
Interesting. Now, Maeda, I know, is... I don't have the... I'll get the ADPs up here. I know that people are really interested in Maeda. The ADP is 101 for Rich Hill. The ADP is slightly lower at about 128. So Maeda is liked more than Hill for now. But you just trust Hill more? Is that what it is?
I think the Rich Hill's a better pitcher. I mean, okay, we're talking about a K per 9 of 10. He dominates when he's out there. Kenta Maeda, I saw it for 1 year, and I'm not so sure. He had 175 innings pitched. He added, he's another guy that supposedly added 10 pounds of muscle this offseason, which I think is not really the case. I think that, you know, in both Syndergaard and Kenta Maeda's plays, they're just overweight.
Okay. What about you, Corey Parson? Kenta Maeda or Rich Hill?
Agree with Tony on this one. I'm gonna go with Rich Hill. Obviously the injuries are a red flag with Hill, but I just think he's, like, I agree with Tony. I think he's a better pitcher. I think he has better stuff. Developed that curveball last year, so I would go with Rich Hill.
I think I like Rich Hill also. Whenever he is healthy, he pitches really, really well. You know, I think he's got better stuff as well. And I think Kenta Maeda, I don't know if it was the pitching every 5 days, because, like, he was significantly worse when he pitched with shorter days rest. He was also significantly worse in the second half of the year when teams had seen him already. Rich Hill has certainly been around the block plenty, and I think Rich Hill is just a better pitcher. I agree here with Tony when it comes to those guys. Corey, I'll go to you first with this one. Who you got, Jock Peterson or Yasiel Puig?
This is an interesting one right here. We know what Peterson can do with the power and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Good up-and-coming young player.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Yasiel Puig.
Well, I had a feeling today. That's why I asked you.
Because I'm going to take the rebound. I'm not necessarily the rebound. I'm going to take that Puig puts it together this year, and he becomes the player that he can be. If you look at the talent, Yasiel Puig is probably one of the most top 20 talented players in Major League Baseball. He has other issues with effort and off the field stuff and clubhouse symmetry that he struggled with. But, you know, he spent time with Albert Pujols and Robinson Cano in the offseason, and those guys were mentoring him. I'm going to take it that Puig puts it together this year. Nobody's probably going to buy that but me.
Tony?
Yeah, you know what? I don't even disagree that Puig might be the more talented player. I mean, you could make that argument. But Jock Peterson's got a way to play. And whatever the differences between the Dodgers and Puig is, he just can't get on the field. He can't stay on the field. And I'll take Jock Peterson's 20-plus home runs. The poor average is a killer. And we keep waiting for him in the minor leagues. He had a great track record of stolen bases. That could be untapped potential that could come along.
I'm going to go with Jock Peterson here. I've done the Puig thing 2 years in a row, and I've been disappointed 2 years in a row. I'm not saying he's not more talented, but it was just a couple of years ago that Jock Peterson was one of the top prospects, if not the top prospect in baseball. I still believe the power is real. A guy who knows how to get on base. I'd like to see more speed. Obviously, we have not seen that at all on the major league level. And he's going to play every day. Dave Robertson said he's going to be a center fielder every day. We know that, like, Andre Ethier is there, for instance, in right field, healthy right now for the Dodgers. They don't like Yasiel Puig. Obviously, there is issues going on with him, as kind of Corey has referred to, and the Dodgers organization. I'm not in on Puig here this year. I'm done with that.
I mean, I'm going to have him to myself this year.
You quit.
I did quit. You're right.
I'm going to have him to myself this year.
You get certain stage. I think if he got traded during the offseason, which we expected him to,
yeah,
I would have felt better about it, and I would have been, you know, looking to roster him. But with him back in that same situation, I just think that's too much to overcome.
One more for you, though, when it comes to the Dodgers and trying to figure one out here. What about the worst pitchers? Like, we talked a lot about Julio Urias, but what about bottom under that? Like, would you draft or consider drafting, Tony, like a Scott Kazmir or a Brandon McCarthy?
Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir. Yeah, I would. Depending on the – it has to be a deeper league. Like, if we're talking a 15-team league.
Maybe an NL-only league.
You draft 30 – yeah. Oh, NL, absolutely, those guys would be there. Yeah, I would consider both those guys. In a 12-team regular mixed league, they're guys that I would be watching and see if anything happens.
Who do you like more between those two, Kazmir or McCarthy?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to go with Brandon McCarthy. Since he's got to L.A. and the last couple seasons when he actually pitched and he was healthy, he put up some decent numbers for Brandon McCarthy. You're looking at his final year, he had 9 strikeouts per inning, just 40 innings, and then he had 11 strikeouts per inning in 23 innings. Like, those are intriguing numbers to me with Scott Kazmir going the other way.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think personally, I would go in the same direction. Brandon McCarthy's been pretty good when he's been out there.
You got two players going in different directions right now, so I would go with McCarthy also.
What if I added Corey Hyunjin Ryu in there as well?
I don't really know a ton about Hyunjin Ryu, to be 100% honest with you. I think that he is the Dodgers have been, cautious with him, but I think he's got to get healthy first and foremost. So we see the injury situation improve, but as far as fantasy wise, he's not even a big strikeout pitcher. None of his peripherals really look good. So I can't get involved with this kid right now. I got to see some more.
Okay, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we're gonna talk some more baseball spring training, some news and notes from the last couple days. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Training, of course, full effect. You're hearing the rumors, guys in the best shape of their lives, guys getting hits, guys, getting hammered, getting hearing both sides of the story. So we're going to do a little MLB whip around of some sorts, talk about some players and get the guys' thoughts on it. And I want to begin with Keon Broxton. Now, Keon Broxton was a favorite of many of this company, particularly Nando's, last year.
Love him.
When he went in or out or up or down, he loved Keon Broxton. And last year, the second half, he had a .294 batting average, almost a .400 OBP, 8 homers, 16 steals. Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers yesterday, said, listen, I want to hit Keon Broxton high in the batting order. We just got to get him going. We know Johnny VR is going to bat leadoff. If Keon Broxton bats second, Corey, what's his value?
Oh, if he bats second and we get that confirmation, I think we start to see him rise up draft boards. We know what the kind of player that they want him to be, what he should be able to do. Milwaukee's going to be a spot where he is going to be able to get an opportunity. It's just that, can he be a 15-15, 20-20 guy? You know what I'm saying? Hitting at the top of that lineup. Has his bat improved enough? He was excellent towards the back end of the season last year. He was very poor in the beginning of the season. So get that batting average up so he can't hit in the top of the lineup all season long. You know what I'm saying? I think we can definitely at least see a 15-15 guy. And then as the spring goes on, he's going to be a player to watch because his draft number is going to start rising.
Keon Broxton in our mock draft went in the 21st round despite the really good second half last year. Tony, do you see immediate value out of Keon Broxton?
Yeah, he changed his batting stance and he's just starting to make more contact. And it's looked good so far in spring training, delimited a couple of games. I think that you're looking at a guy that you're hoping gets 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. I think legitimately, you're probably looking at 15-15.
Last year, we talked about that horrible start. He batted just .125 in the first half.
I could do that.
With just a home run, one home run, he, stole 7 bases. But in the second half, he was so much better than when he got called up. .294, 8 home runs, the stolen bases with a 16. I mean, is he the player that we saw in the second half, Tony? The player we saw in the first half, or a combination of both? Was this a guy that was getting better, a guy that got more comfortable, or is he going to come back down here?
No, I think it's a little bit of both. So I don't think he's as good as he played in the second half, but I don't think he's as bad as he started out. He got a little comfort there. I think, based on what I've seen so far, he's a big guy for a guy that runs really well.
Right.
I'm interested to see if he can get the ball in the air, which you don't want. That's the problem. You don't want guys usually that run well hitting the ball in the air. But this guy has some power. I think he could hit for home runs. I'm interested to see what he is doing from a batting perspective. Yesterday, watching that game, they are definitely looking at this kid as a guy that's going to hit some power. He wasn't hitting the ball on the ground, and they were hitting the ball in the air. And that's the only problem with guys like this.
You do want to note, though, Broxton last year had a 36% strikeout rate. It's right up there with Miguel Sano territory. Yeah. That's bad.
That's bad.
It's horrible.
So they took his hands and they lowered his hands to try to get him just to make contact in the batting order. So basically, he's got like a short, compact swing this year.
All right. So maybe that'll it won't extend the bat and cause a lot of wind to come here. Maybe that'll help that. I don't know. Corey, you said yesterday morning you're in on Marcus Semien this year. You were saying.
Yeah, I think Semien is a player. Can you see what his ADP is right now?
Of course I can. The reason I was asking you because he hit a home run yesterday.
How about that? I called it. I called
the
shot.
Well, I don't know what you call the shot, but Semien's ADP currently is 207.
Yeah, that where he's going right now, I think you can get him as a bargain on draft day. So I am in on the Oakland shortstop, Marcus Semien. Another guy, 2010 guy, 250-ish batting average. So I think Marcus Semien going in that round, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's dollar make you holler right there.
Because here's the thing. The guy batted in Oakland last year. He had 27 bombs. He stole 10 bases. It was just the average was terrible. It was at 238. Can we expect the average to go up and the power numbers to stay the same?
Yeah, why not?
He's going to get he'll get more opportunities too. He hit eighth most of the year last year. I think there's a good chance that he bats second in the order this year.
Yeah, if he bats second in the order and he's going in there and at that ADP, then yeah.
And he did play 159 games last year, so he played almost a full season, which is a full season. And again, power was free. Obviously, a career high 27 home runs. A year after having 15 home runs, he's gotten double digit stolen bases back to back years. It's just that average, which is concerning.
In 2015, the average was 257. You like that much better.
I do. As an OBP league guy, though, that 310 OBP isn't great.
No. Well, I didn't know you played in the OBP league.
I do.
Nice.
Do you not like me anymore because of it?
No, I'm still your boy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to make sure.
If you told me you played in the standard league, then it would be different.
What is that? Oh, rather than PPR?
Yeah.
See, I had to get back to the... Greg Bird keeps homering, Tony. 4-for-9 to begin the year, and he's got like 3 or 4 home runs already. Is Greg Bird fantasy relevant?
Yeah, he is. And I am so interested in what this Yankees team's going to do because from everything from watching the games and listening to the announcers, that they are going to play Matt Holliday at DH this year. If they play him at DH, what are they doing with all these first basemen?
Greg Bird, obviously Tyler Austin's already hurt. Chris Carter, the other name that really comes to mind.
Yeah, one of them will be out.
One of them will have to sit out every game, yes. But it could be a lefty-righty platoon, and Bird would be on the good side of that platoon, though.
If you get a young player, the worst thing you can do is platoon them at the start of their career.
I agree. Like,
if they have Greg Bird, I don't see them platooning this kid.
Okay.
If he's playing... Well, I mean, they didn't pay a lot for Chris Carter. $3.5 million is nothing in today's baseball. So maybe he's just going to be a backup. I find it hard to believe.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, as I said, just jumping around, a little Emily whip around. The Pittsburgh Pirates' presumed closer, Tony Watson, allowed 3 runs and 4 hits in under an inning yesterday. And we had... what the Pirates did yesterday, 2 days ago, they used Danny Hudson and Tony Watson, and then a day later, they were back-to-back games with both Hudson and Watson to start off the season. We had Hudson give up a homer 2 days ago where Watson pitched well, and then yesterday, Watson got crushed, and Hudson went scoreless. Both these guys are battling for the closer, and I think we presumed that it was Tony Watson's job, but should we be underestimating Daniel Hudson, Tony?
No, he should be underestimated, Daniel Hudson, but if he wins it, it's not because he's a great pitcher. What the problem here is, it makes no sense to make Tony Watson the closer. Zero. If you go lefty-lefty at the end of games and you go and you bring in guys off the bench and you try to get matches, why would you use a left-handed closer ever unless he's dominating? And Tony Watson's not dominating.
He's not Billy Wagner, you're saying?
No, he's not Billy Wagner.
Stuff, yeah.
He's not Andrew Miller. I mean, this makes no sense to have Watson as the closer.
Jarrell Cotton allowed one run in his first start yesterday. Jarrell Cotton is a pitcher for the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, no,
people seem to love this guy. It seems like he's going to be starting the Oakland rotation. Last year, I think he started five games, had a 2.15 ERA with a 23-4 K to walk ratio. It seems like he's one of these hot names that he's a cool name, and it seems like everybody likes. What are you thinking of Jarrell Cotton? Tony, Corey, somebody.
With Jarrell Cotton, he's going to pitch in a good ballpark. He's going to make the rotation. He's not a guy at this point that I'm looking to draft. I'm looking at a 12-team league. We're talking about a guy that's played in the minor leagues, hasn't touched the major league level. The minor league numbers, huge strikeout totals, for him. Can he succeed? Yeah. Is he worth a flyer in the last round or two? Probably. But I'm not taking a shot on
a flyer because of the ballpark, but the 7K to 9 last year.
Corey, I don't think I could draft Jarrell Cotton because I'm afraid of the names people would come up with. Hey, 2 hours down, one more to go. We'll talk more MLB. We'll get to NBA and Dr. A coming up 9 o'clock hour here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.